Anatomy and Physiology, Gulf Coast State College. In this unit, we're going to discuss a bunch of stuff, including the cell cycle, DNA replication, protein synthesis, and everyone's favorite best friend forever, not cellular respiration. Let's start today's discussion with the cell cycle. In this picture here off to your lower right, we have an artist's interpretation of a cell. We'll study the cell in great detail, and as you do and learn its components, you will realize that this cell is a fake cell. As a matter of fact, there's no cell in the human body that can look just like that. More on that later. But as a cell, what is your destiny? And as a Star Wars fan, and maybe there's others in the audience, that always reminds me of, I think it's Darth Vader, when he's talking to Luke, and he says, Luke, what is your destiny? I'm sorry, that's my best impression. But what is your destiny as a cell? Well, three basic things can happen in your life. Number one, you can just live and do your normal job, whatever it is, and go about your daily business. Maybe you're a cell in the pancreas making insulin. Maybe you're a cell in the liver making sugar. Maybe you're a cell in the pituitary gland making a growth hormone. Choice number two, you can grow and divide. And we'll talk about that in detail in today's discussion. And then, of course, choice number three, the eventuality, is we die. And as a cell, I want you to know two ways the cell dies, basically. Write them down because they're nowhere else in the notes. Number one, apoptosis, APOPTOSIS. And that is genetically programmed cell death, where we just sort of wither on the vine based on our genes determining what happens to us. And if you just heard what I said, I hope you're not just taking this course to get an A. That's a given. I want you all to get an A. I would show it off and to all my other professors and brag about it. But I hope you're here to help people. If someone can figure out the deal on that genetically programmed cell death, boy, you can help a lot of people. And you'll be a multi-bazillionaire as well. And if you do, please just remember me and cut me in 1%. What's the other way, in general, a cell dies? You should write down here, necrosis, N-E-C-R-O-S-I-S. That is cell death due to disease, due to injury, for example. So, two basic ways to die if you're a cell. But let's talk about the cell dividing. Specifically, we're going to talk mostly about somatic cell division. And let the root words help you. Soma means body. So this means general body cell division. All of our body cells, pretty much, except reproductive cells, which is a separate deal we'll mention at the very end. So what happens? The cell undergoes an orderly sequence of events called the cell cycle. And I love these fill in the blanks again. They keep you interactive. It's kind of like a workbook. It's homework. Keeps your brain engaged. And the cell cycle is the process by which the cell duplicates its contents and divides into two. And here's the key, it results in two new cells, each one just like the other, just like the original cell, in chromosome number and kind. So two identical twin daughter cells, just like the original cell, including the genetic material. Well, why bother? Got a question down here for you. Why bother? Because we want to be able to repair injuries, maybe from trauma, maybe from surgery. So we want to be able to grow and we want to be able to repair our tissues. And down here below, what an awesome visual. This picture is totally sick. This is a scanning electron micrograph, 3D in color, showing two cells dividing. As a matter of fact, this is a lung cancer dividing, and they divide abnormally very rapidly, and maybe someone in this room will figure out a way to stop this and come up with a cure for cancer. And the answer may actually be somewhere in the cells coming up that we show dividing. So let's talk about the cell cycle for somatic cells. There are two main phases of the cell cycle. They are, number one, interphase, which we will talk about first. Number two comes the mitotic phase. So let's look at them one at a time in that order. First, interphase. I love the Greek root word. Inter means in between. Phase means phase. So it's the in-between phase. Let Greek root words help you. I think I might have mentioned this earlier, but I'll mention it again. I love that old movie, my Big Fat Greek Wedding. I'm not plugging the movie, and that's not what this course is about. But in that movie, the Greek grandfather, he always challenges his, I guess it's his granddaughter's boyfriends. Every time they come into the house, he sits them down and says, "Hey, tell me any word in English and I'll bring it back to the Greek root words." You know, it's a very proud heritage. And he does, and it's kind of funny, but it's true. If you know your Greek and Latin root words, you can figure out almost anything, even if you kind of don't really know it. So let's look at this in-between phase. It's part of the cell cycle, but not part of mitosis. That's key. Don't miss that one if you see it in the future. That's not a trick. You just have to know that. For our studying pleasure, interphase has been broken down into three phases. Gap 1, then S, then gap 2. Let me give you the overview on that line there. The gap phases got their name because those are gaps in interphase where DNA synthesis is not occurring. The S phase, we'll see, stands for synthesis of DNA, which is, of course, thought to be the most important thing. So the other phases surrounding the central synthesis phase are simply called the gap phases, even though there's a lot going on there. What's the overview? What's the big picture? It's always good to know the big picture before you dive into the details, because you can get lost in details. Know the big picture first, and then it's much easier to learn, understand, and retain the details. In interphase, the cell is very metabolically active, may be growing. This is where we are most of the time as a cell. Most of the time, our cells are in interphase. It means just hanging out, doing their daily activities, like I mentioned earlier. So most of the slides you'll see in the lab in your tissue preparations will be in interphase. Let's look at the three individual phases one at a time. First, gap 1, which is abbreviated the G1 phase. In that phase, the cell is duplicating many of its organelles and many of its cytosolic components that we'll study. In other words, we're duplicating many of the innards of the cell. That's not the technical name, but that's what's happening. Why? What's the purpose? I put a good question here. You should know this for understanding. Because, you know, our organelles, they wear out, they die off, and they need to be replaced. So in order to grow and continue on, we need to duplicate our innards, so to speak. Then comes the all-important S phase, which stands for the synthesis phase. And you should know that's the phase where DNA replication is occurring. We're duplicating our genetic material. Why? So we can form those twin identical cells from the original cell. Once you hit the S phase, by the way, which I must think is important because I got triple exclamation points in red here. Once a cell goes into the S phase, it is destined to go through the rest of the cell cycle and duplicate itself. Followed by gap 2, which is called the G2 phase, where more of the inner junk of our cells is processed and produced. Specifically in the G2 phase, you should know that enzymes and other proteins are synthesized, for example, in preparation for cell duplication. Visually, how do we identify this? Either if I describe it on a test or show you a picture of it. In interphase, we'll see that the nuclear envelope is intact, and also the genetic material inside the nucleus exists in a delicate, granular appearing thread-like form called chromatin. Now, some cells are stuck. They're stuck in gap one phase. And if cells are stuck in gap one phase, we give it another name since we name everything in anatomy, as we'll see. We call it gap zero because not all cells divide or even can divide. You should be able to give some examples. I'll give three examples that you should know for our course and for real life. The number one cell to know is a neuron. A neuron is a nerve cell. Those are synonyms. Once a neuron is whacked, it don't come back. For example, in the brain, if we have a stroke or traumatic injury or a cancer, in general, it's not coming back. Second major one I want you to know are cardiac muscle cells. Once they're dead from an injury or from a heart attack, they're not coming back either. And finally, skeletal muscle is another one. Very limited ability, let's say for our course, essentially close to zero ability to regenerate themselves once they are truly, totally dead. So I know there's research, even in your textbooks and out there in the literature, of these cells being able to come back. But for the purposes of our course, think of those cells as stuck in gap zero, and once they're whacked, they ain't coming back. Here's that pie graph I showed you on an earlier slide, and it is a nice visual. Visuals are always good, and it shows you here interphase, the in-between phase where we are hanging out most of the time as a cell, showing you G1, S, and G2 phases in a nice visual. Don't memorize the amount of hours here. In general, it takes a cell roughly about 24 hours, but that's variable, to go through the cell cycle. But that's interphase in a visual, even including, by the way, showing you my little favorite thing off to the side, the G0 or gap zero phase. Some of you, as you study this cell cycle, you know, the process of making two twin cells from one original cell, might say, well, how does all this happen? Does it happen just because Dr. Gonchore says it happens? Is it, you know, magic? Is it mumbo jumbo? No. If anybody asks you how this happens, it is basically controlled by enzymes with double stars. And I've mentioned the importance of enzymes before. Essentially, almost all metabolic processes in our body, they just ain't gonna happen unless we have enzymes to control them and make it happen. On this slide, we have a nice visual to hook up with the verbiage on the previous slide. Off to your right, an artist's interpretation, a drawing of a cell, listing some of the players and parts we will study and you will learn in detail when we do cell structure. But let's look over here to the left at a cell in interphase so that you will be able to identify it for sure in a testing situation, either on a description or a picture that you see. Let me outline the cell membrane or plasma membrane of a cell. This is the cytoplasm. The cytoplasm is all the junk inside the cell pretty much, including the watery cytosol and the organelles that are within that sort of gelatinous mess. And then, of course, here is the nucleus in the center of this cell, shown in a purplish kind of color. That's kind of how you know you're looking at the nucleus, and that's the key thing to focus on in most of these cells. I know this cell is an interphase for two reasons. Number one, we have nuclear envelope intact, and inside the nucleus, the genetic material, which is essentially just DNA and proteins, is in a form called chromatin. It's a granular, light, speckled, thread-like form, and that's how I know I'm looking at a cell in interphase. I know this is tough as a beginner. In lab, you're noticing it too. I remember when I started out, all the cells looked the same. Every tissue slide I looked like, all I saw was pink and purple. But what I learned is I had to find at least one thing on each of those slides in lab. So I knew that it is what it is and nothing else, so I could get it right on test day. So always find that one thing to hang your hat on. It's kind of like Sesame Street. Sesame Street has that segment, one of these things is not like the other. Well, that's what your mission is. And I know it's hard. I had a hard time in med school because I was a chemistry major, and when we did histology, I had a friend of mine who basically tutored me through it. I still remember his name. He was a biology major in college, and right now he's a cardiologist out at Baylor, but he actually helped me find these special techniques that I'm going to help you with, both here and in lab, as we work through these slides. So this is a classic cell in interphase. I hope that visual helps you. Let's compare it to some others as we move on to the second major part of the cell cycle, which is the mitotic phase. And the mitotic phase has been divided into two major segments. First is mitosis. Mitosis refers to division of the nuclear material. The second is cytokinesis, which refers to cytoplasmic division. Look at your root words again. Cyto means cell. Kinesis means to move. Specifically, this refers to movement or dividing of the cytoplasm or the goopy stuff inside the cell. So we're going to divide the nuclear material and we're going to divide the other innards as well. Let's take a look at these things one at a time, starting with mitosis. But unfortunately for our studying pleasure, someone has divided mitosis into four stages. And the four stages are number one, prophase, number two, metaphase, number three, anaphase, and number four, your fill in the blank, telophase. Yes, I love these fill in the blanks. Again, it's like a workbook, keeps interactive, helps us practice spelling. Spelling's important. Just like in the hospital, it's important. One letter can make the difference between an antibiotic and a heart drug. So I love these fill in the blanks. They also give you an idea of what I think is important in general. An age-old memorization technique on this slide, I cannot take credit for this, but many people remember the four stages of mitosis in order by the mnemonic PMAT, P-M-A-T. So let's look at PMAT, starting with the P. The P stands for prophase, and pro in Greek means first, and it is the first phase of mitosis. What happens here? First of all, the chromatin, the genetic material, which again is just DNA and proteins, condenses into structures called chromosomes. And we'll see visually, they look different. They look thick, ropey, dark, black, sort of purpley. And it's just a name change game. It's still the same stuff. It's still the DNA and proteins, but we just now call them chromosomes. I wouldn't have put it this way if I was the first one to find this or invent it. I know it's kind of confusing, but I'm just the messenger and we got to play the game. Each chromosome, by the way, consists of a pair of identical double-stranded structures called chromatids. And each chromatid pair is held together, we'll see on a visual, at an area called a centromere. And I love the root word. Centro means in the center, mere means part, and it is the kind of the part in the middle that holds these two strands called chromatids together. Also in prophase, some special cellular organelles we'll study called centrioles move to opposite ends of the cell and start to spit out these protein filaments called the mitotic spindle. It's called a spindle because it has a football shape that I'll show you on another slide. And these protein filaments attach to the centromeres. Also in prophase, the other key visual is the nuclear envelope dissipates or starts to disintegrate or disappear. Let's look at a visual. Here's a visual of prophase with a drawing at the bottom showing an early and late prophase. In the drawing first, notice that the nuclear envelope disintegrates in prophase. That is something that we will be able to see on our tissue slides. Also, these greenish structures called centrioles, they move towards opposite poles of the cell and start to spit out these protein filaments called the mitotic spindle that attach at the centromeres. And my favorite visual clue of all is the chromatin condenses together into thick, ropey, dark, purpley, blacky structures called chromosomes, which you remember are two chromatids joined at a centromere. Let's move up top. Up top, we have tissue cells. I'll outline a tissue cell in the middle of each slide. Again, I'm outlining the plasma or cell membrane. And what's happening here? What's your Sesame Street deal? One of these things is not like the other. What's different? How is this not interphase? Well, check it out. Nuclear envelope disappearing. Yep, I could see it's pretty much gone here on this cell to the right. But my favorite thing is, the one I never miss, is look at the genetic material. It's now thick, ropey, dark, clumpy cords called chromosomes. And that's how I never missed it in a testing situation, either in lecture or the lab. Also, something on this slide I need to bring up now. Notice it's showing on the bottom an early phase and a late phase. In other words, this is a process. Although for simplicity and for learning purposes, we describe these things as going from one to the other like a snapshot like that, it's really a continuous process. So there are early and late kind of stages of each of the phases. But look, on a test, whether I do it in lecture or lab, I will show you the classic phase in the middle of the phase. So it will be unmistakable for you to identify. I'm not going to show you something that's halfway in between, metaphase and anaphase or anaphase and telophase, because I just don't think that's fair for a beginner. Okay, let's move on. What comes after prophase? Well, if you remember PMAT, next comes metaphase with an M. And meta, root word meta, means later or beyond. And metaphase is beyond prophase. What are the key things to know about metaphase? Number one, during metaphase, the mitotic spindle is complete. It's very easy to see. It looks like a football shape of thin, light protein filaments. Also, my favorite thing about metaphase, the chromatid pairs align in the middle of the mitotic spindle called the metaphase plate. And that's how I remember metaphase with an M. In metaphase with an M, the chromatids are in the middle with an M, and they're right in the metaphase plate. And here's a drawing to show you that. Here is our artist drawing off to the left, showing our beautiful mitotic spindle, and it shows all the chromosomes right in the middle of the metaphase plate. Here comes a beautiful histological prep. I like looking at the real deal better because the drawing is fake. I'm outlining the cell membrane. And now we have our centrioles where this sort of slightly darkish purple area is. And they're spitting out these protein filaments. This is our mitotic spindle shaped like a football. Remember, those protein filaments are attached to the centromeres that are in the middle of the chromosomes. So here we have the perfect visual. Metaphase, thick, dark, ropey, blacky, purpley structures lined up right in the middle of the metaphase plate. So that's how I never miss it on the test. Metaphase, chromosomes lined up in the middle. Next comes anaphase. And what does ana mean? Ana means apart. And in anaphase, something's going to move apart. Yeah, so name tells you what's happening. As a matter of fact, what happens is the centromeres split and the chromatids separate and move towards opposite poles of the cell. Remember, this is all in preparation for creating these identical copies from the original cell. And sorry about this, once separated, the chromatids are now called chromosomes again. I'm just the messenger. I know it's confusing. I would have done it different. It's just a name change game. At its very root, what is it? It's our genetic material. It's still DNA and proteins. But once the chromatids separate and start moving towards opposite ends of the cell in anaphase, we call them chromosomes. So we got to play the game. Also, in late anaphase, the cleavage furrow begins. That's a little dimple, a little divot, where you see the cell being constricted, and the beginning of the pinching off of one cell into two begins in late anaphase, if anybody asks you. Here's the visual down below the drawings showing you again early and late phases. I don't know why the artist in your book put the early on the right and late on the left. That doesn't make sense to me. But it does show you the key features. The key feature is the chromatids break apart and they're being pulled to opposite ends of the cell by the protein filaments, the mitotic spindle that was spit out by the centrioles is tugging on the centromeres and pulling the chromatids towards opposite ends of the cell. This early anaphase in the real tissue meat in the upper right is, I think, kind of not fair for a testing situation, because I like to show classic grade A USDA certified tissue meat. This is a perfect anaphase showing you plasma membrane, the little dark areas where the centrioles are. We see the protein filaments of the mitotic spindle pulling the chromatids apart. We now rename them chromosomes, and we have identical genetic material being pulled towards opposite ends of the cell. Which leads us to the last phase of mitosis. This is a T and P mat called telophase. Telos or telo in Greek means the end, and it is the end of mitosis. Key things to know. During telophase, the chromosomes, now at opposite ends of the cell, are going to eventually revert back to the form called chromatin. So they'll turn to that speckled, granular, lighter appearance at the very end of telophase. But it's still the same junk. It's still DNA and proteins. Somebody's just playing games with us. Also, at the very end of telophase, new nuclear envelopes will form around the genetic material. But the key thing I always hang my hat on is the cleavage furrow progresses. In lab and in lecture, this is a no-miss situation. And here's the visual proof it. I never miss telophase because look what's happening. We have a big cleavage furrow, a big divot as a contractile ring, if you will, is pinching off eventually these two cells. So let's look at the real deal on top. Here's the tissue meat, and we see these big dimples, these big divots, these big cleavage furrows. We see the chromosomes are pulled almost, we're at the center of each cell. So we almost have two cells with a big cleavage furrow. That's how I know I'm in telophase. Finally, we got to finish things off with the last part of the mitotic phase, which is called cytokinesis. Remember, this is where we're going to divide everything else. divide up all the other junk like in the cytoplasm. So this does refer to division of cytoplasm. This point is key to note. It begins in late anaphase and is finished after telophase. So make sure you circle that bullet point. And finally, at the end, there are two daughter cells, exactly like each other, genetically identical, and they are back where? They're back at interphase, back in gap one, where they can move on with their daily activities. Here's the visual to go with it. We have two identical cells. I'll outline one cell. There's another cell. We see that the nuclear envelopes are intact. And check out the nucleus. That's always the key on these slides. Check out the nucleus. The genetic material is back in its fine speckled granular form called chromatin, surrounded by a nuclear envelope. That's how I know I'm looking at interphase. And this is where, again, we hang out most of the time, and this is how most of the cells we'll look at under microscopes in the laboratory. Nothing new on this slide, just a sum of it all put together on one slide. If it helps you, check it out. For some of you, this may look too busy. If it looks too busy, just crumple it up and throw it out. But here it is all together. Got to talk more about chromosomes. It's just so important at this stage of the game. Chromosomes, what's the short story? It's just basically DNA and proteins. That's what our genetic material is. A normal body cell, that means all of our body cells pretty much except a sperm and an egg. A normal body cell has 23 pairs. Remember, we get one set from mama, one set from dada. 23 pairs of chromosomes. So what's the total number? Well, 23 times 2 is 46. That's what's in a normal body cell. We have one member inherited of the pair from each parent. One from mommy, one from daddy. And the two chromosomes that make up the pair are called homologous chromosomes. If you ever see the term, and you will, homologous chromosomes, that means one from mama, one from dada. What are genes? Gotta know what genes are. Genes are the hereditary unit on the chromosomes. They're just small hunks of the chromosome. Technically, they are a bunch of nucleotides. Your book says that the average gene is roughly about 300 nucleotides. Remember when we talked about that, when we talked about DNA? But that varies widely, of course. But 3,000, I guess, is an okay number to know, the average number of nucleotides that makes up the average gene. And what are genes doing? I mean, we hear about genes all the time. Genes code for proteins with triple red stars. That must be important. I don't care if it's a trick question or not. Genes code for proteins. And you know proteins are critical. We've gone over their functions many times, including enzymes and so forth. Ah, one of my favorite things. There's so much going on with genetic research now. I believe that in the future, a lot of diseases are going to be detected earlier, treated, and or cured by our furthering of our knowledge about genes and genetics. And one of the key pieces of a chromosome that's really being looked at now are something I want you to know called telomeres. I'll spell it for you, T-E-L-O-M-E-R-E-S. In general, my point is, and my job is not to spell these out for you, that's homework, but telomere, the name telo means the end, mere means piece. It's the end piece. It's the tip of the chromosomes that play a key role in aging and cancer. And if you can figure out why these things with age and with disease are degenerating and crumbling off and falling to pieces, you will be able to help people. Again, I hope your main goal for taking this course is to help people. Yes, you will also be a multi-bazillionaire and should think about kindly cutting me in 1%. But please, somebody listening to this, figure out what's happening to our telomeres And if you could reverse it or stop it, you may reverse the effects of aging, or you may cure cancer. Here's a great clip art. I love this clip art. I love the visuals. I'm a very visual learner myself. Think of this blue coiled up stuff as our chromosomes, our genetic material, and at the very tip, I'm pointing towards that plastic piece that holds this shoelace together. It's really a shoelace, but this plastic piece on the shoelace, think of that as the telomere. It's the tip, it's holding it together. And you know, on your shoelaces, if that comes off, your shoelace unravels. Well, same thing with the DNA, same thing with our chromosomes. So please, somebody, figure out what's happening to those telomeres and come up with a cure for some diseases. This is a nice summary visual that I hope will maybe help you figure out what's happening with this name change game that somebody's making us play with our genetic material. So let's do it. Up top here, we have our genetic material. It's just DNA and proteins. Here's our old friend, the double helix. I'll circle the DNA and the proteins. When it's in a fine, granular, speckled, or thread-like form, we call it chromatin, like it was in Interphase. For example, when it condenses into this X-like structure that's thick, dark, ropey, black, purpley, we call it a chromosome. They're composed of two identical chromatids attached roughly in the middle by the piece called the centromere. But it's all the same stuff. It's just DNA and proteins. It's a name change game based on basically the appearance. Oh man, check this slide out. This slide is off the chain. This is one of those slides, again, I email to my friends or use this computer wallpaper. It's a scanning electron micrograph, over 6,000 power, in color, 3D, showing you here a beautiful X-shaped chromosome with the identical strands we call the chromatids, attached in the middle with the centromere, and it's even showing you in like a pinker color the end tips called the telomeres. So I love this visual. I hope you love them too. You know, they help us remember stuff. I might have mentioned this before, but it's like a movie. I have a favorite movie you saw 10 years ago, and you can probably still see and remember a scene in that movie because you got that big visual image plastered to the memory banks in your brain. And that's why us visual learners are benefited by studying these PowerPoints full screen. Can't leave this section without introducing another type of cell division called reproductive cell division. I do more on it when I do the reproductive unit, but let's at least introduce it here. Reproductive cell division is what it says it is. It's reproductive cell division. It's so we can reproduce. We used to call it reduction cell division when I was growing up, but that was years ago, and I don't think anybody calls it that anymore. It's old school. But reduction cell division tells me the big picture. What's the main point of reduction cell division? What's the main point when we make a sperm and make an egg? It's to reduce the amount of chromosomes in half. That's why reproductive cell division, which you must know is technically called meiosis, is important. We must reduce the number of chromosomes in the sperm and in the egg cells, in our reproductive cells, in half. So that what? So that when we join them together in a process we'll study called fertilization, we restore the normal number called 46. Okay, where does reproductive cell division take place? Only in the gonads. In a man, that's testicles, in a woman, that's ovaries. Okay, so that's the only place where we see meiosis. Mitosis and meiosis have many similarities. I'm going to focus on, and I want you to know, the three key differences between the two. One quick memorization tip here. Mitosis, I remember with a T because we're creating twin daughter cells. So mitosis creates twin daughter cells from an original cell. Meiosis creates myself. In other words, an individual. This is how I create myself, through reproduction, through meiosis, if that helps you. So, let's take a look at meiosis in more detail. Meiosis has two phases. It's easy to remember for my pea brain because it's meiosis one and meiosis two. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to remember that one. And meiosis one and meiosis two go through PMAT twice. So in meiosis, we actually do mitosis twice, with three key differences, and that's what I want you to know from this slide. These are the take-home points. Number one, the first thing that happens in meiosis that does not happen in mitosis is we have a coming together, what's called synapsis of sister chromatids. Syn, the root word, like in synthesis, we make something or create something. So we have a coming together of a chromosome from dada, shown here in blue, and a chromosome from mama, shown here in red, forming this structure called a pair of homologous chromosomes. Remember, that means one from mommy and one from daddy. And notice they have similar genes in similar order. So for example, here we have a B on daddy's chromosome. Maybe that's the gene for blue eyes. And we have a lowercase b on mommy's red chromosome. Maybe that's for brown eyes. So here we have synapsis of sister chromatids forming a pair of homologous chromosomes. That did not happen in mitosis. If you look back at our slide drawings or at the video coming up on the next slide, in mitosis, the chromosomes all line up in the middle on the metaphase plate so that we can form twin copies at the very end of mitosis. Okay, what's the second thing that happens in meiosis that does not happen in mitosis? Well, we have crossing over. Look what happens. We have here a blue arm of daddy's chromosome. So this is his chromatid crossing over this red arm of mommy's chromosome. So that's mommy's red chromatid. So we have non-sister chromatids crossing over. It's a physical crossing over, like I cross my arms over. That's what it is. I cross my own arms over. I'm looking at them right now. I'm crossing them over. And then finally, the third, and in my mind, the most important thing that happens in meiosis that does not happen in mitosis is we have genetic recombination, and it is what it says it is. Physically, we're swapping genetic material. Look in this drawing. We have some of mom's red genetic material slapped on the dad's blue chromosome, and we have some of dad's genetic material slapped on to mom's red chromosome. We have swapped genes. We swapped genetic material. So what's the point? At the very end of mitosis, if we go through PMAT twice, and we do these three special things, here's what we end up with. We end up, first of all, with a viable human being because we've restored the normal number of chromosomes in the sperm and the egg by joining them together and making 46. What happens if we didn't do that, by the way? I'll give you an example you all heard of. There's a disorder called trisomy 21, where you have one extra number 21 chromosome. So we have three chromosomes number 21. It's called trisomy 21, or in more common terms, it's called Down syndrome. So even one extra chromosome can have lots of effects that you know about. So what if we, you know, had 92 chromosomes? Well, none of us would be here today. But the other key thing that's happening in meiosis is it allows us all to be genetically unique individuals, by genetic recombination. So I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for genetic recombination. Last time I sat around at Thanksgiving dinner and I looked around at all my relatives, and that we had that whole dysfunctional family thing going on. I don't know about you, but I was thankful for genetic recombination. I don't mean about the way I look. I mean, obviously, that's not what I'm talking about if you know me. I'm just, you know, my personality. I was looking at that whole dysfunctional mess going on, and I'm saying, thank goodness for genetic recombination. Now, don't tell anybody I said that. This last slide is one of those interactions animations. This is awesome. It's a beautiful visual. It's a video comparing and contrasting and slowly marching you through both the cell cycle and also meiosis. And I hope you enjoy it and take a look at this thing. That's enough for today's discussion. Next time we'll talk about DNA replication.